spend time in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit teach me the truth of His Word, just me and Him alone.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In the first part of the message begun last week by Pastor Brian Grant, we heard how the wicked empire of King Ahab and his wicked wife Jezebel fell under the judgment of God by the hand of Jehu. Truly, Jehu was a great man of war, but his role as king over God's people required much more than military prowess. We will hear this evening about his special anointing by the prophet Elisha, what the Lord's anointing means, and how that had so much to do with Jehu's success. Here, once again, is Pastor Grant with the concluding part of his message, Staying Clean in a Dirty World. Pastor Grant.
My friend, when God anoints somebody, God gives them the resources to carry out His mission. And I want you to write this down, because we might not realize this, but we have also been anointed. And so I want you to write this down in your notes. God's anointing gives us spiritual stability. Jehu was anointed by God, and because he was anointed by God, despite all the odds facing him, he was able to have success. I am suggesting to you that staying clean in a dirty world is going to be tough. Have you found that to be the case? Young adults, have you found that to be the case? Have you found that it is very hard to stay clean in a dirty world? But I want you to know, my friend, that because we have this anointing, we can stay clean in this dirty world because of the anointing that God has given us. But I want this morning to make a slight detour, because I believe as I was preparing this message, God shared something with me which I think is very important for the day and age we are as we talk about this anointing. I've met Christians who were morally clean, but were still messed up because they were spiritually unstable. And I'll be honest with you, one of the greatest challenges to the Christian church today is that there is a lot of spiritual instability, that people really don't know what they believe. And if we're going to be pure in heart, we cannot afford ourselves to become contaminated by false teachings. And so I want to invite you, while you still keep your Bible, in 2 Kings chapter 9, we're going to jump over this time to 1 John chapter 2. I don't often take the time to talk about this, but I believe that's where the Spirit of God wants us to talk about something a little different this morning. As we talk about this issue, Jehu was anointed, and so are we. And what does this mean? Well, 1 John chapter 2, verse number 18, where my Bible is. And here's what it says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. If you're there, say amen. Are you there? Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, or the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. I ain't going to talk about verse 19. That's another message entirely. But I want to focus on this. You see, the text says, the verses tell us that the Antichrist, or I might call him the big A, the big Antichrist, is coming. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 lets us to know that the Antichrist is going to be revealed during the tribulation period. By then, the church has been removed. The church has been raptured. So after the church has been raptured, there is going to be the revelation of the Antichrist. But this text tells us the antichrist, there are many antichrists in the world right now. My brothers and sisters, this is serious stuff. There are many antichrists in the world right now, and their objective is to create a following for themselves by leading Christians away from the truth of God's word. Warren Wiersbe's expository Bible commentary points out that in John's day, these antichrists claimed to have had special anointing from God, and because of their special anointing, they say God had revealed things to them that were not even in the Bible. These antichrists. And I want you to notice, because the Apostle John tells us what the primary target of an antichrist is. Here's the target. The target is in verse 22. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is the antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. I want to say to you very squarely that Christians disagree on certain things. And it's okay for us to disagree on certain things. But my brother and sister, we cannot disagree on the person and work of Christ. The work of the Antichrist is to minimize who Jesus is and to maximize who we are. I almost fainted when I heard one preacher say the other day, one of the most well-known faith healers, he said that because of his anointing, and he's chuckling as he says it, he says, because of my anointing, the Holy Spirit revealed to me the other day that I could have died for the sins of the world just like Jesus. And while he said that, the people were cheering. Because here's what the Antichrist wants us to believe. In fact, some of you know that there's a big teaching now that we are little gods. Oh, a lot of the preachers out there now are pushing this little God theory. We're all little gods. That's what God meant when he said we're made in the image of God. Every Christian is a little God. My brother and sister, watch out. And young people, listen good. You are facing some tough times when Antichrist is going and he is defiling and he's destroying Christians. Anytime anyone preaches a gospel that does not regard Jesus as the Messiah, who is fully God and fully human, that he died on the cross for our sin. By the way, I don't want you to miss that. The Jesus the Bible presents to us is a Jesus who was 100% God. It's a Jesus who is eternal. He was from the beginning. He was with the Father. It's not a Jesus who is inferior. It's a Jesus who the Bible says that in all things he might have the preeminence. It's a Jesus who died on the cross for our sin. It's a Jesus who raised himself from the grave. I want you to realize he raised himself. I lay my life down and I will take it up again. It's a Jesus who had the power to raise himself from the grave because he's an eternal God. And it's a Jesus that salvation is by grace alone, in him alone, through faith alone. Hallelujah! This is the Jesus we preach. And I want to say to you, any other Jesus is not the Jesus of the Bible. Anyone, no matter how they say they're anointed. I said to my son last night, I said, watch for any preacher who keeps telling you he's anointed. Watch out. If he has a need to keep telling you how anointed he or she is, watch out. Because chances are, behind it, they're trying to get you to believe that because of their anointing, they have some special information. And that is what we have here in 1 John chapter 2. The apostle, in the time when these people were running around talking about their anointing, the apostle warns us, watch out for these Antichrist. I heard the pastor of the largest church in America say that Mormons and Hindus are also going to heaven because God's tent is big enough. Because of messages like this, large numbers of those who say they are Christians no longer believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Oh, you better believe it. We've had people right here at GCA who have come and they've sat for weeks and they love GCA until I say that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And a statement like that will drive them out because they can find another church who accepts everybody because we're all God's children. We're all going to heaven. But I tell you, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. My friend, there is salvation in no other but by the name of Jesus. And my friend, if you're listening to me this morning, I beg you, don't get upset by what I say. Check out what the Word of God says. The Jesus who saves is the Jesus who is the only Savior.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Savior who went to a cross and died for our sin. You see, you can believe all these others. None of them went and died for you. None of them loved. Listen, they couldn't even die for themselves because they needed this same Jesus. And my friend, I beg you, please make sure you recognize what you're listening to and who you are following. You know, some of you may get upset that I call these false teachers Antichrist. But if you notice, that's what the Bible calls them. Try and understand that the reason that they're antichrist is because they are actually resisting the person of Christ. They're targeting Christ. The antichrist always targets Christ. We want to diminish who he is, diminish his person, and diminish his work. What makes them so dangerous is that they mix truth with error. They don't only tell lies. There's a lot of Bible in here. Because if it was all lie, everybody would be, oh, hold a second, this is not true. But when they mix the truth and they then bring you some error, you don't even recognize it's error because you've heard so much truth. But may God give us, listen, let me ask you this. Have you ever heard of grave soaking or grave sucking? How many of you know about grave soaking or grave sucking? So the old folks don't know about grave soaking or grave sucking. Well, this is big now, it's happening now. And some of the mega churches, and it's a growing phenomenon in our country, they're encouraging grave sucking. People are encouraged to visit cemeteries where anointed servants of God are buried. Oh, and you're to lie on the grave so you can soak up or suck up their anointing. I'm not making it up, brothers and sisters. It's real. Grave soaking or grave sucking. It's the latest thing. But I want to tell my young people who are watching me and those of you who are here today that you don't need to go sucking or soaking up anybody else's anointed. Amen? You don't need to suck up nobody's anointing, for you have your own. Somebody say amen this morning. Every Christian has been specially anointed by God. Hold it. Look at verse number 20. If you think I'm making this up, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. He says to the little children who have been deluded and being blown about by everything, by these antichrists, he says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. and you know all things. I'm going to come back to this. You have an anointing. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is in the truth. So what is this anointing? Tony Evans Bible Commentary says, and you can put this down in your notes, the Tony Evans Bible Commentary says that the anointing is the internal teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit who illuminates the believer's mind to understand and apply God's truth as well as to detect deception. Listen, because of our anointing, we can have spiritual stability. Are you with me? Because of our anointing, we can have spiritual stability, for the Holy Spirit is resident in our physical bodies, and He will guide us to know truth and detect error. You don't have to say, oh, I don't know how to defend myself against these antichrists. The scripture is telling you, you don't have to worry. Because you have an anointing. And because of the anointing God has given you, you will be able to know truth and detect error. Look what he says in verse 26. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointed teaching you concerning all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. So you say, Pastor, if I have this anointing, what's the issue? If folks have this anointing, why is it that born-again Christians are so blown around? Here's the problem. Write this down. We must appropriate our anointing. The challenge of our age, and you've heard me say this in one of my recent messages, that the problem today is that Christians spend most of their time watching what everybody else is saying. I could give you the names of the big ones. We watch this one and that one, and we listen to this one, and we listen to this one. Listen, we must start spending personal time in the Word of God, allowing the Spirit of God to illuminate His Word to us. Are you with me? It's good to listen to the others. But my friend, if all you do is listen to everybody else, then you have missed the point that God has specially anointed you and you and you and me. God has anointed us, and because of this anointing, when I spend time in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will teach me the truth of His Word, just me and Him alone. So my friend, this morning, before I move on, I just want to encourage us. This morning, it is time for us to stop making excuses as to why we can't spend time in God's Word. A lot of Christians are listening to me this morning, and you spend little time in the Word of God, but you have a lot of time for Facebook. You have a lot of time for Instagram. You got a lot of time for Netflix. You got a lot of time for everything else. And the Spirit of God, God has anointed you. And you're not taking advantage of this special anointing that God has given you. And it's time for us to say, God, thank you that you have anointed me. I don't need to keep chasing after these people who say they are anointed, because by the power of the Holy Spirit, I can open my Bible and you will reveal your word to me. Amen. Well, finally, before I quit, God's patience, third point, final point. God's patience and kindness should lead us to repentance. Well, I took a little longer than I wanted, but that's okay. Sadly, the story of Jehu ends on a sad note. And don't worry, we're going to land the plane pretty quickly. But 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 21. 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 21. Actually, I'm going to start at verse 26 for sake of time.
They're now in the temple of Baal. Verse 26, and they brought the sacred pillars out of the temple of Baal and burned them. Then they tore down the temple of Baal and made it a refuse dump to this day. Thus Jehu destroyed Baal from Israel. Hallelujah. Jehu destroyed Baal. However, Jehu did not turn away from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin. That is from the golden calves that were at Bethel and Dan. And the Lord said to Jehu, because you have done well in doing what is right in my sight, and have done to the house of Ahab all that was in my heart, your sons shall sit on the throne of Israel to the fourth generation. But Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord of God of Israel with all his heart, for he did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, who had made Israel sin. In those days the Lord began to cut off parts of Israel, and Hazael conquered them in all the territory of Israel. Jehu did everything right, but he held on to one sin. Is there a sin you are holding on to? God was patient with Jehu and kept warning him to change. But even after God starting taking away territory, Jehu started losing territory, but he still would not change. It's interesting, the Bible at this point goes pretty silent about Jehu, but secular history tells us more about his fall. For Jehu's name appears on the black obelisk. Some of us have seen it in the British Museum in London. The black obelisk is the oldest sculpture still in existence from that period. It was a sculpture that was done in 850 BC, 850 years before Christ. And Jehu's name is on the black obelisk. And on the black obelisk, Jehu, the powerful king of Israel, is seen kneeling on the ground in front of Shalmaneser III of Assyria and presenting tribute to him. Jehu had become a subject of the king of Assyria. Despite his great start, he had a sad ending because he refused to turn. You know, Romans chapter 2, verse 4 is a verse we're going to put on the screen for you as I bring this message to a close. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 says, don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Some of us, God has been waiting. Some of you are 40, some of you are 50, some of you are 60, and God has been tolerant. He has been waiting. He's been patient. And as the apostle writes, he says, don't you see? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that God's kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? God was tolerant. He was patient. He was kind with Jehu. But Jehu never turned. And the question today is, what are you going to do? Are you going to turn? There's some here and listening who are holding, you're Christians, but you're holding on to, perhaps it's just one sin. You're saying, God, I've done so well. I've gotten rid of every sin. It's only one sin. It was only one sin with Jehu. Some of you are listening and you don't know Jesus. You may be just a child or a teenager, but you don't know Jesus as your Savior. The scripture says God's tolerance, his patience, and his kindness is designed to bring you to repentance. And I'm praying right now that as the Spirit of God speaks to you, you will bow your head and repent and do business with God.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I am a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.